7 o'clock on the dot. Do do. I saw that, Jill. That was, she's like, Start in song. You might see someone that looks a tad bit like me, but a little bit taller. This is my younger sister, Charity, and a real treat, a real blessing for me to be able to serve with her. First time that we've done this in 5 years. So I did want to take a moment to say that. Love my sis. So let's sing together. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light. Here we go. Lord is my light. And my
welcome, ladies, to our new Bible study in the book of Joshua in the year 2009. Doesn't that sound great? A year of new beginnings, and we are just excited to be together. We're excited that you're here. And so let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your presence. It is good to dwell in the house of the Lord. Father, we come with open hearts and open minds and open hands and open lives. Lord, just desiring to receive all that you have for us. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. And Lord, we look forward to this new adventure in the book of Joshua and the things that you're going to speak into our lives. Lord, knowing that you're taking us on a journey, and Lord, it's a walk of faith. And Lord, we don't have to fear because you are our God and you are faithful. And so, Lord, work in our lives. Have your way, Lord, through this Bible study. And we just look to you, Lord, with excitement and anticipation at what you will accomplish, Lord. And we give you the glory, Lord, ahead of time right now. We just thank you, we praise you, and we want to worship you, Lord. We just want to fix our hearts and our, Lord, we just want to continue in this attitude of lifting up.
I found Jesus.
Take your Bible, and if you have your workbook, go ahead and put them on top of each other. I'd like you to just hold them in one hand, and can you hear me? Is that on? Good. I'm so excited about the book of Joshua. And if you put them stacked on top of each other, and then put your hand here. And I just want you to feel the weight of it there and realize that what we're going to study is a group of people who started at one place, but they had some place to go, and it was a journey. And it's going to be history, there's going to be high adventure, there's going to be very interesting things, there's going to be tragedies things, there's going to be victories and failures. But it is so important that as you do your little homework and fill in those blanks, that you don't just put it back in the stack, that this journey that they made is not just about them. It's about you. It's for you. As you hold these two books in your hand, I feel like God wants to say, how about you? Do you want to go? This is about the promised land. And it's a land that he has for your destiny. The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, but it wasn't there to be their final destination or their destiny. And neither is it to be yours. But you know what? Some of you are. Some of you are. Some of you have left Egypt, or most of you have, or most of the you has left Egypt. I'm talking in just a singular sense. Sometimes we have one foot back there, or one heartbeat back there. But then we get stuck. And I just want to say, 2009, may it not be that we waste one more year. What do you think? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. This is a journey. It's not just about them. It's about us. And I feel from the depths of my heart that you're inviting us to come. You hold the keys, you're opening the door, you're paving the way, you have every intention of fighting all our battles, every step of the way. The only missing ingredient sometimes is us. And Lord, we want to say, we want to go. So we pray that you would take us step by step. In Jesus' name, amen. So turn with me, if you will, to the book of Joshua. And as I study every person in the Bible, if I really take the time to study, and sometimes I do that, sometimes I look in the concordance, and I did that this week, and I looked up every single time that the name Joshua was used in the Bible, from the first time to the last time. And then I felt like what I really wanted to do wasn't just look at him as a person on paper. I wanted him to stand right here before us, and I wanted to just walk around him. And I wanted to say, Joshua, who are you? Why you? Why you? As I looked at the Bible, and every year I start reading the Bible again, I start at Genesis, and I look, there's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then the book of Joshua. You know, all those books before you, that they aren't named after. Abraham didn't have a book after him. Moses didn't have a book after him. Lot would never have had a book after him. You know, but here we come to Joshua. So I wanted to just say, who are you? Who are you? What placed you? What formed you? What shaped you? What put you at this moment of history? And as I look at anybody in the Bible, I want to see, what's their relationship first to the Master, to God Himself? And then who are they as a person? And here we have a man. And then I want to see, what's your mission? Joshua, what you were assigned to do, what was it exactly? How did you get it? Because sometimes I think it just goes right over our head. He got it. That's one thing we'll see. He got it. He got the mission. And then final, bottom line is, what's the message for us? We never want to miss that part. And so I backtracked with Joshua and thought really, what shaped you? What shaped you? First of all, if you really go back far enough, you'll see that he was born a slave. He was born a slave. His father was a slave. His grandfather was a slave. He was born into slavery. His life was not his own. He owned nothing, most likely, and he had no hope of ever owning anything. That would be a hard place to start life. And all of his people, there was prejudice against them. They were separated from other people. And from his situation, it would appear, from all human estimation, that his life would never, never change. But then if you look at his story, you see that his people had promises. Promises from a God that they believed in. A God that never forgot them. The God that looked down and had mercy on them and loved them. And they had the promises of God. So I see, as I study his life and really thought about him, yeah, Egypt may have had your body, Joshua, but I don't believe Egypt ever had his soul. Not Joshua. So as we look at the story, we think that could have shaped him, that could have marred him. But there's a saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And so then as we look at his story, we know that there's promises in the Word of God. And as I started reading the Word again this year, I start the book of Genesis, I start the book of Matthew, and I start the book of Psalms and Proverbs. And yesterday was my birthday, January 4th. Thank you. Someone gave me a book, and it was all about the historical things that happened on the year that I was born. On the year that I was born, dirt was invented. If I told you how old I was, it'd be so hard. No, I'm going to tell you how old I am. I turned 60 yesterday. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And you know what? I just fit in with the main characters here. Joshua, when we open the book and start reading his story in Joshua 1, he was probably 80. And that inspires me. And so yesterday, as I was reading in my Bible, I read Matthew 4. Every January 4th, I read Matthew 4, and it's that great, glorious day that Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he sees Peter, and he looks at him, and he says, "Peter, come." Some of you know that's my favorite word that Jesus ever says. He says, "Come, and I will make you fishers of men." And I thought about that. He didn't say, "I'll train you to be a fisherman. If you take enough classes, if you work hard enough, if you really, you know, study your brains out, I'll make you a fisher of men." No. He said, "I will supernaturally, if you choose to come, I will supernaturally make you that. I will make you a fisher of men." So I got out of my chair. I kneeled on the carpet right beside my desk. That's my holy of holies. And I said, "Could you do that again for me? It's my birthday. So, Dad, that's what I want. Could you do that?" And I got very excited about it. Then later on the day, some of my friends and I went down to the harbor, actually to the pier. We're almost to the pier, and if you've driven that down that road on mission, there was just a lot of Marines, young Marines, like 18, 19-year-old Marines. And they must have been waiting for some kind of transport bus. It looked like they had all shopped or done something. And they were just sitting on the sidewalk, just hanging out. And, you know, when you're 60, you cross some kind of line where you don't need permission to do what God puts on your heart. And I thought, this morning I asked for that for my birthday, and I'm gonna try taking this for a spin. So I dug through my car, found a bunch of Gospels of John and a bunch of tracts, and I just went up there to those young Marines, and the Lord gave me, I can't even describe how I felt when I walked up to those kids. And I just walked up to the first one, put my hand on his shoulder like I'd known him all his life, like I was his mother or his grandmother, and said, "Son, where are you from?" Little boy said, "I'm from Kansas, ma'am." And I said, "Well, I want you to know God loves you, and he wants you to read this." And I kept doing it till I ran out of Marines and ran out of Gospels of John. And you know what? To me, that was one step further into the promised land. Because you know what? Sometimes it's time to cross that line and just start living your destiny. And so with Joshua, he did. He did. God made him for this. And when I looked up in the concordance, okay, where did he show up on the radar first? Where do we first see Joshua? Do you remember that scene where Moses is standing with a rod and there's a battle below and his arm gets heavy, and then Aaron and Hur have to lift up his arm, and as long as his arm is up, then the battle is being won. But when it dips, they're not doing so good. Well, you know who was in the valley fighting the battle? It was Joshua. That is the first time his name shows up in the radar. He was down there. And if I was him and I was down here fighting and you're just doing really good and all of a sudden things just go bad, and then things go better, and then things go bad. Do you ever have a day like that? And you go, "What? What's going on?" Little did he know, it was all about prayer. Somebody was praying good for him, or off the job, or on the job. It's all about prayer. What a defining moment for for Joshua when he came back to camp and heard the whole long version of that story. Next time we see Joshua, Moses is heading up to the holy mountain to meet with God face to face. And you know what? Joshua went too. That's a little noticed detail in that story. We always think about Moses going up there, and he did. But Joshua went too, and that's the first time that Joshua was called Moses' assistant. He's not called his executive assistant, just his assistant. And he went too. And so then you wonder, okay, Joshua, why you? Why did you get to go? Everybody else had to stay home. Why did you get to go? I also wonder about scenes. John and James and Peter, you know, lots of times the disciples would all go with Jesus, but then there were other times where just those three would get to go. Like when Jairus' daughter was healed. Remember, they said she was dead. This little girl had died. And Jesus said, not a problem. It's all good here. And he just went into that inner room. He took those three. And then he raised that little girl from the dead. Only those guys got to go. Mountain of Transfiguration. Why did they just get to go and the others didn't? Well, I think there's a principle there. I believe that with them and with Joshua, it's because they wanted to go. Because they probably just kept hanging around. Can I go too? Can I go? Where are you going, Moses? Can I go? You going up to that mountain? Can I go? And there's a little saying about a carpenter. What tool does a carpenter use when he's working on something? Usually, it's the tool that's laying the closest. And for us, you know, we're not necessarily the sharpest tack in the workshop. But as long as we're the closest one, God's going to use us. So he got to go. The first speaking part that Joshua has is when they were coming down. And Joshua said, you know, I think I hear there's a war down there. And there was a war, all right. There was the war of the flesh that had won the war over the spirit. And as they were up on the mountain meeting with God, the people were down in the valley meeting with themselves and rebelling. That was a tragic day. And I think, how did that shape you, Joshua? How did that form concepts in your heart? Joshua ate manna every day in the wilderness. Joshua saw water come from the rock. And now, just as an important background to the study that we're going to look at, I want us all to turn to Numbers chapter 13. And if we wonder if there's any kind of importance that God places on this experience of going from Egypt into the Promised Land, look at the number of books that are dedicated to it. It is Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. A lot of information here, and that emphasizes the fact that it is important. Okay, as we look at Numbers 13, there is a huge defining moment for Joshua. And it was that moment where they had escaped from Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea, dramatic little Steven Spielberg scene there, if you've ever emotionally and mentally gone. And then they've traveled through the wilderness. They fought one battle with the Amalekites. They've eaten their manna. And now they're right up to the Promised Land. They're just right there. They can see it cross. And the River Jordan is not a big river. It's not like monstrous. It's not big at all. Some parts it's no wider than this sanctuary. And they were right up to it. And so they said, okay, let's go send some spies over there. And they sent 12 spies. And it's interesting that there's that much of the Bible dedicated to all of their names. All 12 of their names are are on the list, who they were, and they were all had of families, and they were sent into the promised land for 40 days. And Joshua was one of them, and Caleb was one of them. And I'm not positive how much time they had traveled in the wilderness, but they hadn't eaten, except for just a couple moments, they hadn't eaten anything but manna since they had left Egypt. And so these spies, they were probably totally excited. Oh my goodness, we're gonna go, we're gonna have a hamburger tonight. we're gonna go to the donut shop. We're gonna just explore the food first. And then we're gonna see what else is up. And so they all went as a group, and they probably stayed together sometimes and split into groups and came back and had campfires. They traveled all over that land and they saw everything. And then they thought, we're gonna bring back some souvenirs. And they found this big cluster of grapes, so big that they had to tie it on a big stick, and two of them had to carry it on their shoulders. So I don't know, it must have been huge, this cluster of grapes. And they brought back pomegranates and fruit, which the people of Israel had not seen in a very long time. And I can just imagine them coming back, and Caleb and Joshua thinking, yes, if we can just get going as fast as we can, this is going to be the most awesome adventure that they have ever seen. And so in verse 21, it says that they went up and spied out the land. Verse 23 talks about them cutting that cluster of grapes. And then 25 says that they returned from spying out the land for the 40 days. And they came back to Moses and Aaron and all of the congregation and the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. It was Kadesh Barnea. And they brought back word to them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless, here's the story. The people who dwell there are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. We saw the descendants of Anak, and the Amalekites dwell in the land, and these other people along the banks of the Jordan. Verse 30. So here's these 10 guys. You know, they start out real good, and they say, here's the fruit, and they say, but, however, you have got to see how big these people are. This is bad. And then I can see Caleb. I mean, he just can't stand it anymore. He just quieted the people before Moses and said, let's go at once and let's take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out. The land through which we had gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in the land are of great stature, and there's giants, and we were like grasshoppers in their sight. I can just stand in the shoes of Joshua. I can stand in the shoes of Caleb. And they're thinking, oh my goodness, this is so not how I thought this would go down. I thought if they just saw the fruit and if they just knew how good it was and if they could just remember that this was God's destiny for us, that they would say, absolutely, we're ready to go. We're just tired of being here in this dry old dusty place. Let's go. Have you ever been in a situation like that? And you just thought it was a done deal. And everyone would feel exactly the way you felt. And then to just watch it crumble right before your eyes. And then it got worse. Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept all night. Totally not the reaction they expected. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? That's such a heavy word. Would it not be better for us to return to the land? So they said to one another, let's select a leader and return to Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly. Verse 6, but Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to the congregation of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us to this land and give us a land which flows with milk and honey. Don't rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. They are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Bottom line, the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Verse 10, and the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now, if you've never read that before, I would imagine you're shocked. Not as much as Caleb and Joshua. They were shocked. How could this be? How could this be? Why won't you go? Can't you see that the giants who you think are unconquerable, they're insignificant compared to God? Why don't you want to go? How could it be that you want to stay here? But you know what? Many people are more comfortable with the misery of the known than to step out and trust God with the unknown. And so we shrink back and we draw back and we say, no, I can't move forward. And when you say you can't, and then you say, I won't, and then you don't. And the tragedy here is that entire generation died in the wilderness. Now put yourself again in Joshua's shoes. Because if they were stuck, he was stuck too. He was stuck too. He was stuck in that place and had to wait the course, you know, and watch them die one by one, coming short. And you know what? It broke his heart. I'm convinced he broke his heart. It broke his heart because he knew that there was more. And that's exactly the way I feel. I know that there's more for you. And I know that some of you have been living your life in fear. And why wouldn't they go? Partly because it was too much trouble. Partly because they didn't see God as the big God. Partly because they didn't believe his word. Partly because they wouldn't trust him. I'm going to read you just a little poem about the tragedy of Kadesh Barnea. They came to the gates of Canaan, but they never entered in. They came to the very threshold, but they perished in their sin. On the morrow, they would have entered, but God had shut the gate. They wept, they rashly ventured, but alas, it was too late. And so we are ever coming to the place where two ways part. One leads to the land of promise, and one to the hardened heart. O brother, O sister, give heed to the warning and obey his voice today. The Spirit to thee is calling. Oh, do not grieve him this way. Oh, come in complete surrender. Oh, turn from thy doubt and sin. Pass on from Kadesh Barnea and enter in to the promised land. Let's bow our heads. And Lord, as we stand at the threshold, as we are going to open our books this week, God, I pray that we would hear your voice. Come, come, come over, taste and see, let loose of that fear. Let loose of that coldness, that dullness, that dryness, and come. So, Lord, I pray that you would stir by the Holy Spirit of God in our hearts. Ignite us. And help us to prepare for this great adventure. In Jesus' name.
Incredible adventure. Oh, here we go. It's got it. I want to just encourage all of you to, if you haven't picked up your book, to get one. And I just know, it has stirred me, because I believe it's such a time as this, that this study is just perfect for each one of us. Lord has called you to be here. It's not an accident that you're sitting here. And I know that there's even people that are going to be watching this during the daytime, and the Lord has called you also to be in this study. So I want to encourage all of you to just really dive in, because Lord has a lot for us. I want to introduce two just sweet women. They are, when I look at them and I think of them, it just warms my heart. It's Marilyn Bean and Vicki Aldridge, and they're going to come up and talk to you a little bit. They both are involved in our Heart to Heart and also Birth Choice. So they're going to just come up, and they want to share some ministry with you, and just come on up.
Did you all get one of these? Would somebody like to hand this? It's so funny that it's on fear. Can you hear me? Because as a post-abortive woman, I want to tell you that fear is a big monster in our lives. And because of that fear, guilt, and shame, we build walls of protection, walls of denial. And it affects our whole life. It affects our relationships. It affects, we injure ourselves. We become promiscuous. We do all kinds of really strange and awful things. But God is in the business of knocking down walls. He doesn't want us trapped behind those walls of fear. And we have a chance to work through a Bible study that's specifically aimed for that. And so we would, it's called Her Choice to Heal. It's a regular Bible study. It's an 8-week commitment. And I urge you, if you're living behind a wall of denial and fear, give us a call. And we would love to help you break that wall down.
You hear me? Debbie, you're just a kid. We're very glad to be here tonight. And the part that is new to the Heart to Heart is the part about the post-abortion syndrome. For those of you who are in that category, please pray about this. For others of you that may have other things to deal with, perhaps, who knows, God does. We are also here for those things. Whether it be a one-on-one, whether it be a Bible study, whether it be discipleship, whether it just be, I need to talk. That's what Marilyn and I are here for, and we love the job that Jesus so beautifully gave to us. It is such a privilege to be his vessel and to be of service to him, to other sisters. So please don't ever be afraid to call on any topic you may have. Thank you very much.
Just to kind of encourage you, I know that there may be some more flyers, but there's a phone number on there. And also, too, if you don't have that, you can always call the church office. That ministry, and it's part of the women's ministry and part of this church, it's women to women, excuse me, heart to heart, and it deals with women. And I know that they just want to minister, and the Lord has called them, and I know that there's other ladies that are on the same team. So just take that opportunity. Just before we dismiss, if there's any new ladies that have just signed up, and for those of you that are returning, we kind of made a roster, and please excuse if your name is not on here. If you were in a group the first part of the September through November, you would just go back into that same group. Please note that we've changed some of the rooms. We're only using the three rooms in this first hallway, the fellowship hall and the foyer, and a couple of the rooms have combined. So I've put the leaders' names. If you have any questions where you don't see your name, there'll be several of us that can help you. I think that's it. I'm excited about this